Well, happy Sabbath, everyone, who is able, has been able to make it and missed you last week, but we're back online. God is good all of the time. For God, everything's present, the past, the present, and the future. I'd like to share a little poem that I read recently from the book The Path to the Throne of God, very interesting book by Sarah Peck, one of Alan White's literary assistants. And this is written by, it's written by Arthur Mountain, interesting name, and it's called Nearing Home. Where the tree of life is growing and the river softly flowing, that's the place where we are going. And it fills our soul with song, for it keeps the heart warm, glowing, as the gospel seed we're sowing, for the debt of love we're owing to the one who bore our wrong. Though the world is bent on killing, man, his brother's blood is spilling, hearts with dreadful fear instilling, there is peace within our soul. There are prophecies fulfilling, wondrous signs, momentous, thrilling, when God's people shall be willing as we press toward the goal, where the tree is blooming fragrant, that's the tree of life, winds life's river gently vagrant. There, with love forever fragrant, we shall find our home, sweet home. Now that's a home sweet home, eh? Oh, amen. So I've chosen to open, welcome to those coming in, happy Sabbath, or as Sabbath Preparation Day comes to the Sabbath. Glad you could join us, and those who might be listening to the recording in the future, or that might be even on the phone. In light of dear Brother Bob, I'm looking forward to his testimony when we have testimony time of how things have gone for the ministry online. I think this is a fitting hymn, the battle hymn of the Republic, because God's truth is marching on. And it's our privilege as Christians to triumph with it. That his truth is marching on, that his day is marching on, that our God is marching on, while God is marching on. I'll sing the first verse. If anyone knows the song, please feel free to take one. And glad we can do this together. Well, happy Sabbath, dear sisters Dot and Sister Lynn. Glad you could join us again. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, alleluia. Glory, glory, alleluia. Glory, glory, alleluia. His truth is marching on.
I have seen him in the watchfires of 100 circling camps. They have builded him an altar in the evening dews and lamps. I can read the righteous sentence by the dim and feral lamps. His days marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on.
He has sounded forth a trumpet that shall never call retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of all before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea, with a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make us holy, let us die that all be free, while God is marching on. Glory, glory, alleluia. Glory, glory, alleluia. Glory, glory, alleluia. His truth is marching on. Amen. And God preserves his truth. It is never coming to an end. As long as his throne exists, so does his law of love and peace exist. Let's have a word of prayer before we start our reading. You probably noticed I'm on location at Lucy's. Glad we can be here. Lucy's just by my side. Precious Father in heaven, thank you so much for making it possible to have another Sabbath on this earth. For although it's defiled by sin, we, by your grace, can be in this world, but not of this world, living on your love and on Christ's life and not the prince of the power of this air and his principles that ultimately lead to eternal death. Even the Satan's, and the breaking of the commandments of love. Thank you for the remedy in Jesus and for the power to obey, to be restored through his death, to be justified by his pure and clean life, to be sanctified through obedience to thy word. And ultimately to be glorified when returns our Lord. Thank you for holding out to us Jesus, sinless as he, the sinless one, showing us the way out of this world while we're in it, walking that straight and narrow path that leads into eternal life, that narrow path and that straight gate. Help us help others see this. As we learn more just now, as we seek to be illuminated by Revelation 22 and other scriptures and other insights help us retain this information. Help us increase in knowledge to a saving worth, to a saving application in our lives, as you've done in the past, that we might have much more in the face of the enemy and his power to deceive, which is not above your power to keep us from falling. Thank you for showing us victory and allowing our dear brothers and sisters to have victories, including myself, in various areas of our life and ministry as Christians, as missionaries in this world of darkness toward God and truth. Thank you for making it possible for us all to say, perhaps every one of us, I wish for all of us at least internally to say safely through another week that no matter what's happening around the world, even if the heavens were to fall, safe in Christ, nothing can rob us of the hope that's in him, the hope of glory now, of him living in us, in our heart, and the future kingdom to come by his presence, literally. Please abide with us, Holy Spirit, as the Sabbath hours come up for many of our brothers and sisters, and as ours, and as on the other side of the world, they continue in the daylight hours, that it would be indeed daylight spiritually and not alone in the sunlight. And thank you, Jesus, for being the Son of Righteousness who has healing in his wings to give to every heart aching soul. In Christ we pray. Amen. Okay. So right as we start, we've got a bit of drilling going on. I don't know if you can hear it. Hopefully you can't. Okay. Okay, Revelation. No? Oh, that's great. That's like last time. Wonderful. I'm glad you can't hear it. It's pretty loud here. Oh, I hope Peter's his name, Lucy's neighbor. He's a Christian, and he's learning something about the Sabbath truth, but not to the point of stopping from doing his own thing. He's working on his boat. So let's review Revelation chapter 22, verses 10 to 12, which is what we looked at 2 weeks ago. Praise the Lord, we can come back again today, and glad we can continue this. The close of the investigative judgment was looked at in the words that Christ pronounced. The free will of human beings we see is not interfered with. People are permitted to live the life of their own choosing. Isn't God good? So that their true character may become apparent. And we also looked at the question, what is holiness? And a quite illuminating text came from Acts of the Apostles. Holiness is not rapture. It is an entire surrender of the will to God. It is living by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It is doing the will of our Heavenly Father. It is trusting God in trial, in darkness, as well as in the light. It is walking by faith and not by sight. It is relying on God with unquestioning confidence and resting in his love. We also looked at the matter of fact that it says, blessed are they that do his commandments, not cursed are they that do his commandments. You know, very important when people don't like hearing the commandments, which are love, that it's blessed are they that do his commandments, not cursed are they that do his commandments in Jesus and by his power. Our title to heaven is the righteousness of Christ imputed, and our fitness for heaven, the righteousness of Christ imparted, represented by the washed robes. The outward evidence of the righteousness of Christ imparted is perfect compliance with the commandments of love of God. So we find the tree of life was guarded in Genesis chapter 3 verse 24, but the right to the tree of life is granted in Revelation 22:14. And what gave them access to it back then? Obeying God's law of love by his power. And it's the same for all who are ever going to see fulfilled for them, Revelation 22 and verse 14. Now, last time I mentioned that I had some Spirit of Prophecy quotes related, but we didn't have time to look at them, or to read them, rather, and, of course, look at them. And I wonder if someone, or more than one, would like to read these couple of quotes from a couple of sources, Spirit of Prophecy, for us, before we continue on to verse 15. Please feel free, and thank you.
There is no discord between the Old Testament and the New. In the Old Testament, we find the gospel of a coming Savior. In the New Testament, we have the gospel of a Savior revealed as the prophecies had foretold. While the Old Testament is constantly pointing forward to the true offering, the New Testament shows that the Savior prefigured by the typical offerings has come. The dim glory of the Jewish age has been succeeded by the brighter, clearer glory of the Christian age. But not once has Christ stated that his coming destroyed the claims of God's law. On the contrary, in the very last message to his church by way of Patmos, he pronounces a benediction upon those who keep his Father's law. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they might have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. ST July 29. I'm sure that ST means something that I don't know right now. 1886 and 6 BC 1095.7. Oh, signs of the times. Thank you. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap, Malachi 3:2, UL 105, paragraph 1. Those who profess to be sons and daughters of God should represent him in character. Opportunity is now given to us to form characters that will fit us for an entrance into the kingdom of heaven. Those who keep the commandments of God will have a right to the tree of life and enter in through the gates into the city. In love, God has given us a law that we may know and put away those traits of character that cannot be tolerated in heaven. No one can enter there to whom is charged robbery, adultery, evil speaking, or false dealing, for this would lead to another war in heaven. The law of God was given to lead men away from these practices, that their characters might be fashioned after the character of God. Upward Look, 105, paragraph 2. Continue? Okay. The Garden of Eden remained upon the earth long after man had become an outcast from its pleasant paths. The fallen race were long permitted to gaze upon the home of innocence, their entrance barred only by the watching angels. At the cherubim-guarded gate of paradise, the divine glory was revealed. Hither came Adam and his sons to worship God. Here they renewed their vows of obedience to that law, the transgression of which had banished them from Eden. When the tide of iniquity overspread the world, and the wickedness of men determined their destruction by a flood of waters, the hand that had planted Eden withdrew it from the earth. But in the final restitution, when there shall be a new heaven and a new earth, Revelation 21, 1, it is to be restored more gloriously adorned than at the beginning. Patriarchs and Prophets 62, paragraph 2. Then they that have kept God's commandments shall breathe in immortal vigor beneath the tree of life. And through unending ages, the inhabitants of sinless worlds shall behold in that garden of delight a sample of the perfect work of God's creation, untouched by the curse of sin, a sample of what the whole earth would have become had man but fulfilled the Creator's glorious plan. Patriarchs and Prophets, 62, paragraph 3.
Thank you, dear sis. And thank you, Brother Bob, for the acronyms, the meaning of them, meanings of them. Here's another quote, three spiritual gifts, page 55. The pure and lovely Garden of Eden, from which our first parents were driven, remained until God purposed to destroy the earth by a flood. God had planted that garden and especially blessed it, and in his wonderful providence withdrew it from the earth and will return it to the earth again, more gloriously adorned than before it was removed from the earth. God purposed to preserve a specimen of his perfect work of creation, free from the curse wherewith he had cursed the earth. Another, when the faithful dead shall be resurrected and the King of Glory shall open before them the gates of the city of God, and the nations who have kept the truth enter in, what beauty and glory will meet the astonished sight of those who have seen no greater beauties in the earth than that which they beheld in decaying nature after the threefold curse was upon the earth. You remember the threefold curse? That was the one upon Adam, and then Cain, and then at the flood. It is impossible to describe Adam's transports of joy as he again beholds a paradise, the Garden of Eden, his once happy home, from which, because of his transgression, he had been so long separated. He beholds the lovely flowers and trees of every description for fruit and beauty, every one of which to designate them he had named while in his innocence. Wow, he named that as well. He beholds the lovely flowers and trees of every description for fruit and beauty, every one of which to designate them he had named while in his innocence. He sees the luxuriant vines which had once been his delight to train upon boughs and trees. But when he again beholds the widespread tree of life with its extended branches and glowing fruit, and to him again is granted access to its fruit and leaves, his gratitude is boundless. He first in adoration bows at the feet of the King of Glory, and then with the redeemed host swells the song, "Worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain." Adam had lost Eden by disobeying the commandments of God. He has now regained that lovely garden by repentance and faithful obedience. The curse rested upon him for disobedience, the blessing now for his obedience. That's three spiritual gifts, page 88 and 89. Would someone like to read the remaining spirit of prophecy quotes?
Some among the redeemed will have laid hold of Christ in the last hours of life, and in heaven, instruction will be given to those who, when they died, did not understand perfectly the plan of salvation. Christ will lead the redeemed ones beside the river of life and will open to them that which, while on this earth, they could not understand. Undated Manuscripts 150, First Selected Messages, page 262, paragraph 2.
Visions have been given me. You'll have to move it back up, brother. Thank you. Visions have been given me with the promise, if you deliver the messages faithfully and endure to the end, you shall eat of the fruit of the tree of life and drink of the water of the river of life. Select Messages, Book 1, page 33. We should consider that it was not merely to accomplish the redemption of man that Christ came to earth. It was not merely that the inhabitants of this little world might regard the law of God as it should be regarded. But it was to demonstrate to all the worlds that God's law is unchangeable and that the wages of sin is death. There is a great deal more to this subject than we can take in at a glance. Oh, that all might see the importance of carefully studying the scriptures. Many seem to have the idea that this world and the heavenly mansions constitute the universe of God. Not so. The redeemed throng will range from world to world, and much of their time will be employed in searching out the mysteries of redemption. And throughout the whole stretch of eternity, this subject will be continually opening to their minds. The privileges of those who overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony are beyond comprehension. And that was from Review and Herald, March 9, 1886. Paragraphs 23 and 4. Amen. You're not surprised for me to say powerful. And thank you for each reading. Very telescope-like on the biblical revelation. Well, let's continue. Let's go to verse 15, and who would like to read that to us all? And, of course, anyone has any comments, insights, questions they'd like to share, please always feel free to. Or I could read it. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Wow. So we know who's without. And, I want to put a quote from Jesus and ask you the question. I'll put it in the room here. Just be a sec. So the quotes are these. Okay. And the question I want to ask you in light of Revelation 22:15 is, in these next two scriptures, we'll get someone to read them, ask yourself, when does this event take place? Would someone like to read them for us?
That everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Matthew 7:21-23. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us, and he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not, whence ye are. Then shall begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in the presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. 13:27. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not, whence ye are, depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Luke 13:25-27.
Amen. Thank you, dear Sister Dot. So, when does that take place? Is that a real event? And if it is, when does that take place? And I've got one answer, we could say. An answer from, yeah, you could look at it like that, close of probation. Which part would it be? At the second coming? Would it? So I guess there's a couple of ways to look at this, so I'm just suggesting this is one answer. But it is interesting how specific an answer it is. And definitely at the close of probation, isn't God good? We've still got probation here. I was sharing with a brother yesterday that who doesn't believe in the Holy Spirit, that he thinks it's the Father and the Son. And I explained to him then, Jesus was misguided when he said that all sin and blasphemy committed against the Father and the Son will be forgiven, but not, it won't be forgiven if done against the Holy Spirit. And as we were talking about that, we talked about, in the process of the reality that he thought that the breath of life was the Spirit, but capital S. And I said it could be that, depending on the context, but it can also be the Spirit, capital S, when it's mentioned in the Bible, like the first time, Genesis 1:2. And I said, I'll give you an example. You can be alive, and yet you've committed the unpardonable sin, but you're still alive. So it can't be, you need oxygen, so it's not, the Holy Spirit's not the oxygen. So, let's look at the answer to this, one answer, I'd say. It's very, I've underlined, obviously, the key point brought out here. Would someone like to read this answer? And this is from one of them. I think there's two quotes, actually, here. Three spiritual gifts, page 86, and Mount of Blessing, page 129. Who would like to read that to us all?
Jesus and his loyal subjects ascend to the top of the city. The wicked host behold the splendor of the city and the happy redeemed company upon its walls, and are amazed at the scene. They behold Jesus in his kingly majesty, his countenance surpassing the brightness of the sun, surrounded by the angelic throng. As the wicked look upon the redeemed and see their faces radiant with glory and glittering crowns upon their heads, their courage fails, and they wail in anguish as they realize that they chose a life of rebellion against God and Jesus Christ their Savior, and for the disloyalty have lost, and for their disloyalty have lost eternal life and an imperishable treasure. Then many who had professed to be Christ's followers, but who had not honored God in their lives, enumerate their good deeds performed when they lived upon the earth and entreat to be admitted into the city. They plead that their names were upon the church books, and they had prophesied in the name of Christ and in his name cast out devils and done many wonderful works. Christ answers, "Your cases have been decided. Your names are not found enrolled in the book of life. You profess to believe in my name, but you trampled upon the law of God. I know you not. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." Satan and his angels try to encourage the wicked multitude to action, but fire descends from heaven and unites with the fire in the earth and aids in the general conflagration. That was Spiritual Gifts, Book 3, page 86 and 7. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain from his quarter. That was Isaiah 56, verses 10 to 11. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Matthew 7, verse 6. Jesus here refers to a class who have no desire to escape from the slavery of sin. By indulgence in the corrupt and vile, their natures have become so degraded that they cling to the evil and will not be separated from it. That was Mount of Blessings, page 129.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother. Amen. Watchmen, ministers, absolutely. In positions of trust, ministers being right up there, pastors. It's true. Put elders there. I'm one of those. Absolutely. See, I think you can see the first quote Brother Bob kindly read to us. You see the significance that obviously it's the close of probation, but the timing is not. It would appear to me that strongly this would suggest it's really going to happen at the third coming, not the second coming, because in the second coming, you have the quote of the lost. They're running away from God, from the wrath of the Lamb who sits on the throne. You know, they're not, Lord, didn't we do this, that, and that? No, they're scared out of their mind. They know they've led the wrong life and then they die. But here you have this picture portrayed in this, before the throne, the great white throne brought out in Revelation 20, that many who profess, they say the exact words Jesus said, that's what they're going to say, and the exact words Jesus is going to say when they say it. Quite interesting. And of course, this is happening at the, we could say, you know, at Revelation 22 verse 15 point of what is not in the city of those who are going to be saying it. And of course, it's professed Christians, which is a real solemn message to every one of us who takes on the name of Jesus. Does anyone have anything they'd like to share before going to verse 16? Any thoughts you'd like to share, insights, etc.?
And brother, if you can put that other page back up. It talked about trampling upon the law of God as to the reason why they're left outside the city. And a lot of time as Sabbath keepers, we look at that trampling upon the law of God as being Sunday keepers. But there's also Sabbath keepers who believe you cannot overcome all sin and yet you will be saved. They're also trampling upon the law of God because they believe it can't be kept, so they continue to live in sin. So it represents everyone that is breaking God's law and not overcoming through the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony.
Yeah, amen. And it doesn't scripture specifically point that out a couple of times? Well, actually in verse 15, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie, because that's a lie, that there's an excuse for our sinning. It's not. How many times do you meet Christians that'll say, because you're not perfect, therefore you're allowed to continue in your sins? It's like, it's just a somersault flip. We can obey all the known will of God through the grace of God that comes with the knowledge of God. Yeah, that's a good, the devil made me do it. So that's like saying, you know, I'm having this ongoing conversation and it kind of feels like it's meaningless, but at the same time you get to put seeds of truth into other people's minds who are listening to the conversation. You know, we don't have free will. No, we just go along with our sinful natures. And I try to help him understand. Felix is his name. He's in his 70s. I said, Felix, you're trying to tell me and trying to convince me that we don't have free will by your free will to prove that we don't have free will. It just doesn't work, mate. That's why we need saving. It's so simple. And yet, you know, what was it? Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We need God's help. Another thing that someone might say, that's just the way I am. Or that's how I was raised. Yeah, wow, they're very popular quotations there, bro. Absolutely. And, you know, really what one's saying is I don't have free will, and that will, there's no power in it to choose the right over the wrong. And yet, we all know, whether you're a parent or not, if you saw your child doing something wrong and the child turned around because of your theology and said, oh, but Mama, the devil made me do it. That's just the way I am. That's how I was raised. You know the deal. I've got a sinful nature, which actually you gave to me. Do you remember? I mean, if they were good parents, they would, or they were converted parents, they would repent of if they've been leading their child on like that, and they would tell them there is no excuse for sin and you need to repent and you need to say sorry and you need to change, my son or my daughter. But a bad parent, you know, in reality, so they're not hypocritical. If a person really believes we cannot be saved from our sins, we've got to be saved in our sins, which is obviously not by Jesus, because he doesn't save in our sins, Matthew 1:21, then to be in accordance with that theology, they would be saying, oh, why didn't you say so, son? I almost forgot. Keep being a bad boy. Now, no parent would generally do that, and if they did, they're doing a bad parental action, and we can all see that. It's not hard. You don't have to be a Christian to know that. It's like people that say, oh, yeah, but they're Christians. They should know better. That's true. They should know better. But if you're not a Christian and you know better and you don't do better, how better are you than the Christian that's a hypocrite? So, you know, you're pointing the finger, three fingers are pointing at you. It's really the Word of God. It makes it plain. It's the mirror. It's really reading us as we start with reading it. It ends up reading us. And it's a real blessing. That's some good insights there, bro. Any other thoughts to share? Well, who would like to read verse 16?
I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star.
Wow, this is Jesus speaking. I, Jesus. Wow, thank you, bro. So we have reference here to the root of David. Now, the last time that was mentioned was Revelation 5:5. We're told, and one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, that's the seven seal book, and to loose the seven seals thereof. So we know that, end of quote, we know that Jesus is the root of David through his, through his divinity, because if you're the root of David, you have to come before David, right? Jesus is the root of David through his divinity. We're told in John chapter 1 verse 3, for instance, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And, of course, also, he is the offspring of David in his humanity, or that he's begotten, as Psalm chapter 2 brings out. He was already a son before he was begotten as a physical human being called Jesus Christ. He is the offspring of David in his humanity. A quote from Romans 1 verse 3, it says, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Now, what Brother Bob just read, it says, Jesus says, and the bright and morning star. Now, there's actually a reference that's probably specifically referred to or is connected with the Old Testament. In Numbers 24, verse 17, we're told, I shall, this is Balaam, you know, he was a good prophet and turned bad, turned rogue. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not night. There shall come a star, capital S, out of Jacob. He came from the tribe of Judah. And a scepter shall rise out of Israel, capital S, scepter, and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Sheth. And then 2 Peter 1 verse 19, a New Testament quote. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Aha, the day star arise in your hearts. End quote. So the messages to the churches of all ages can have no greater authentication than that that is here given. You could say, in a way, this is a verbal autograph by Christ. Right? We don't have the originals of, you know, the book of Revelation or any other of the books. We don't have the autograph, the first written books that were written by the prophets, who's sometimes it's named after them, especially the small prophets, the smaller prophets that have smaller books. But, you know, we still have the proof of who wrote it in case they have amanuensis, but Paul sometimes had someone else write it and he verbally says, you know, what's right, etc. But here you have, it's almost like a verbal autograph by Jesus. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches, James and everyone listening. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star. An interesting quote from the Australasian Union Conference record October 7, 1907, paragraph 22. I'm just going to put that in the room. It's a small quote. And it says, or she says, we see from these words the necessity of sacredly cherishing every ray of light that the Lord Jesus sends to his church on the earth. And that's in light of Revelation 22:16. The efficiency of any church depends upon its entire consecration. The church is not to conform to any one man's mind or judgment or will, or depart in the slightest particular from the teachings of the word. So not the suggestions of the word, not the recommendations of the word, but the teachings of the word, like the master, Jesus. Anyone have any thoughts they'd like to share before we go to the next verse? Would someone like to read the next verse?
And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him come, or let him take of the water of life freely.
Thank you, Brother Dick. Good to hear your voice, along with everyone else. So we have the Spirit mentioned again, a number of times mentioned in the Bible, and including Revelation. We have this being, of course, we understand it to be the Holy Spirit, the one who energizes the Christian life of the believers, who gives them the strength to live the victorious life, to overcome the devil, and to go safely through the time of trouble, such as ever was. Now, in light of Revelation 22:17, I would like to read a small quotation from Revelations in Revelation, just regarding this particular verse in many ways. It's called, "There are two marriages. There are two marriages in the plan of salvation as well as two brides. There is a spiritual bride, a spiritual marriage, with a spiritual marriage supper. There is also a literal bride, a literal marriage, and a literal supper. The spiritual bride is the Christian church, God's chosen people, Ephesians 5 and Isaiah 62 verse 5. The spiritual marriage takes place at conversion. After the believer is wooed by the Holy Spirit, he yields his heart to Christ and is joined to him in a spiritual union or marriage. The believer takes the husband's name." When I read that first, I thought, that's so beautiful. I'm sure I've heard that before, but just, that's so powerful. The believer takes the husband's name, Christian. You know, first called that in Antioch, but we know Daniel and, you know, Adam, they were Christians. Christ was slain from the foundation of the world. The husband provides the food, the word of God, and also the clothing for his wife. This is the robe of Christ's own righteousness. At the same time, the spiritual marriage supper is celebrated. Revelation 3, verse 20. Where Christ brings the meal and you sup with him. The literal marriage, so we just looked at the spiritual. Now the literal marriage is of Christ to the new Jerusalem. This concept is based on an Old Testament practice of a ruler involving his son in the rule of the kingdom. This was initiated by a ceremony of marrying the son to a leading city of the kingdom. Likewise, God the Father, at an appointed time, conducts the ceremony in which he marries his son to the leading city of the kingdom, the New Jerusalem. This city is the literal bride of Christ, Revelation 21, verses 9 and 10. This marriage of Christ to the New Jerusalem is being conducted during the pre-Advent or investigative judgment, which the book of Daniel reveals commenced in 1844 and concludes at the close of probation of the human race. In this period, the kingdoms of this world become the kingdom of Christ. Daniel 7, verses 9, 10, 13, and 14 quoted. That's from a, I don't know the person specifically, but the quote is Cook, number 31, UR1-3. Don't know if he's a pioneer or not, but I thought, what an interesting insight that is on the spiritual and literal application of there being two marriages. Because of Revelation 22:17, of course. I would have put that on the screen, but I was writing it out and then I lost it. I thought, oh dear, I'm short of time. So I'll just read it from the book. So we're told here, as our brother Dick just read, that the Spirit and the bride, they say or are saying and keep on saying, come. We've got an appeal to the unbelieving world to accept the gospel. And that the reaction of that calling is him or her, that hearer, which is really personal, isn't it? None of us are two people. We're each an individual. Men, women, and children will be saved as individuals, not as churches or congregations. Salvation is strictly personal. In the New Testament, the word translated here, is aku, generally carries the thought of hearing effectively. So it's not selective hearing. It's hearing effectively. That is, of hearing and obeying the message heard. Such is its meaning here. Only those who hear and accept the message are qualified to repeat the call. So the singular also suggests that each church member as an individual must add his cry of welcome. And we could say in our day, to the loud cry, because it relates to the last message of mercy to be given to the world in Revelation 14:6-12 and chapter 18:1-5. We've got each individual adding their cry of welcome to the whole everlasting gospel, thus publicly displaying their eager longing for the second advent, which the last message of mercy is all about and is actually going to happen when it is fulfilled, and his desire that others shall enjoy the blessings of Christ. And if people are athirst for the things of God, they're going to be filled. Jesus mentioned that in the Beatitude in chapter 5 of Matthew. We're told in Revelation 21:6, and he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. So Christ is not holding it out so we can't get filled, but so we can get filled. Matthew 5 verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Not might be or could be, it depends on. There are conditions that they hunger. There's a condition. They realize their worthlessness, their helplessness, and recognize their need of divine help, and they will be getting it. So we have the exhortation, which Brother Dick read as well. Come, again, it's mentioned more than once. An exhortation for each needy one to take advantage of the promise, because it's not going to stay there forever. And we don't live forever anyway. And we never know when we're going to die and breathe our last. And I love how it finishes, it finishes with whosoever will. Just like the well-known quote in the Bible, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him. It's not a select few that's been chosen and the rest are select for destruction. It's whosoever. The offer is universal. It's not Calvinistic. I'm not putting down Calvin. Did some wonderful things. It's not Calvinistic in nature. The offer is universal. No one is excluded from the possibilities of salvation. Christ is a propitiation for the sins of the whole world. John stressed that in 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. The false doctrine that certain ones are elected to be lost is denied by the Revelator's statement, and that more than once throughout the Bible and the prophet's testimony, the other prophets as well and apostles. We, the water of life, of course, whosoever wishes to inherit immortality is invited to take of it. The living water is offered to all. And the good news is it's experienced now, wells up unto everlasting life. And ultimately, that'll be at the second coming when everlasting life is given to those who are finally saved. I found an interesting quote from, and of course that could be compared with Isaiah 55 verses 1 to 3. I found an interesting quote from, it's from Smith, Uriah Smith. I thought it was an interesting quote, very interesting gifted writer. He didn't write the book on his own, which is made clear. Certainly had a lot of input from others. But I'd like to put this quotation from the pioneers of the church. Got a quote here. Perhaps someone would like to read it for us all. It's from Daniel and Revelation, pages 778 and 779.
Oh, you need somebody to read this, huh? I'm willing. I can do it. And the bride also says, come, the bride also says, come, but the bride is the city. No. And how does that say come? If we could be strengthened to behold the living glories of that city and live, and should be permitted to gaze upon its dazzling beauty, we would be assured, and be assured that we had a perfect right to enter therein and bathe in that ocean of bliss and blessedness and revel in its glory forever and ever. Would it not then say to us, come with a persuasion which no power could resist? Who of us, in view of this, could turn away and say, I have no desire for an inheritance there? Daniel Revelation. But though we cannot now look upon the city, the unfailing word of God has promised it, and that is sufficient to inspire us with implicit and living faith. And through the channel of the faith, it says to us, come, come if you would inherit mansions where sickness, sorrow, pain, and death can never enter. If you would have a right to the tree of life and pluck its immortal fruit and eat and live. If you would drink of the water of the river of life that flows from the throne of God, clear as crystal. Come, if you would obtain through those glittering gates of pearl an abundant entrance into the eternal city. If you would walk its streets of transparent gold, and Jones argued that that's wrong, that it should only be street. If you would behold its glowing foundation stones, if you would see the king in his beauty, and on his azure throne, come, if you would sing the jubilee song of millions and share their joy, come, if you would join the anthems of the redeemed with their melodious harps, and know that your exile is forever over, and this is your eternal home. Come, if you would receive a palm of victory and know that you are forever free. Come, if you would exchange the furrows of your careworn brow for a jeweled crown. Come, if you would see the salvation of the ransomed myriads, the glorified throng which no man can number. Come, if you would drink from the pure fountain of celestial bliss, if you would shine as the stars forever in the firmament of glory, if you would share in the unutterable rapture that fills the triumphant hosts as they behold before them unending ages of glory ever brightening and joys ever new. The bride does say, come. Who of us can resist the invitation? The word of truth is pledged to us that if we keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus, we shall have right to the tree of life and shall enter in through the gates into the city. And we shall feel that we are at home in our Father's house, the very mansions prepared for us, and realize the full truth of the cheering words. Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Let him that heareth say, come. We have heard of the glory, of the beauty, of the blessings of that goodly land, and we say, come. We have heard of the river with its verdant banks, of the tree which, with its healing leaves, of the ambrosial bowers that bloom in the paradise of God, and we say, come. Whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. Oh, Uriah Smith, huh? Daniel Revelation, page 78 and 79. I didn't think that, 778 and 779. I didn't think that was Ellen White. Pardon it.
Thank you for reading, bro. Nice, loud and clear and to the point. I think you mentioned that there is a, you mentioned streets and it says street in the Bible. And you made me think of something else. I think we looked at it a couple of months ago talking about the pearly gates of the New Jerusalem. And in, I found at least one instance, Ellen White talks of it being a golden gate. And all I can think of is that in vision, it must have looked like that because it is a pearly gate, but in vision, it must have looked like gold because of the reflections perhaps of other things that that's how it looked. And perhaps the focus of John was just the main street leading to the throne, so that there are other streets, you know, like the other 11 gates, that three on each side of the four square city, New Jerusalem, so that there are other streets. And most likely, there's no reason to think that they're not golden, you know, considering everything else that's in there. But I hear what you're saying. In the Revelation, it just mentions street singular. It's like the main promenade. It's the, you know, it's the official one that, of course, Jesus no doubt first walked after his victory. Well, any thoughts on this? What we've looked at so far today, I think we'll probably leave it there for next week and pick it up at this same verse, actually, because of something else I'd like to bring out, but I don't think we'll have time to look at it today. But is there anything anyone would like to share on what we've looked at so far? I think we've looked at verses chapter 22, verses 15 to 17. Well, I'm looking forward to powering on with you all. There's so much that we are provided with the cross-references, with the help of the concordance, with the spirit of prophecy, that I'm really glad it either microscopes it or telescopes it, however which way we want to look at it. And by the Holy Spirit, it will continue to go on in our life right now as we continue to look up the help and hope and grace to be God's and His alone, to have the eye single to the glory of God. We look forward to picking it up next week with you all if you're able to attend. With saying that, is there any testimonies, questions, comments, insights, songs, requests, anything anyone and everyone might like to share? Go right ahead.
Well, I would like to praise the Lord and give a testimony of His goodness and answers to prayer. Many of you have been well aware of lightministries.com being offline. Almost 3 months, but God has allowed it little by little to come back online to where now it is 100% online. So it's back to normal. And since it's with a different hosting service, there is a chance that some of the links do not work. All the major ones work, but some of the smaller ones may not work. And so if you happen to click on a link, like an audio recording or a PDF or some file, and it doesn't work, please send me an email and let me know, because I may not have copied over all of the files correctly and may have left some out. So again, my temporary email is ltblmin@outlook.com. And since the lightministries.com site is back online, I can now focus on getting an email connected with that website. And so that will hopefully be coming soon. Anyway, thank you so very much for your prayers, for your support, for your thoughts and concern over this issue. I never thought it would take almost 3 months to have the site fully back online, but God is in control of the timing. And for those that have been following this particular situation, I never would have been able to talk to so many different people, texts in the background and so on, if problems with the site had not occurred that I have been able to talk to and have directed them to the truechurchofgod.info site. And one guy I talked to was very careful to state that he goes to church on Sunday. So just for him to come out with that statement told me that there's been discussion around the phone bank area about the Sabbath issue. And they could have only come to the Sabbath controversy by visiting the truechurchofgod.info site. So that was a blessing that discussion has been going on behind the scenes in their phone bank. All because of this problem trying to get lightministries.com back online. So God is good. He has his reasons why the site was offline for so long, but it's now back online, and praise his holy name.
Oh, that's so good to hear. That's like a relief. Fantastic that people were led to your other website because of the down there, you know, putting down 3 months. There's a record, bro. I was saying to Brother Bob before we started today that, gigantic relief. Absolutely. And may God give you the necessary remuneration for these problems that appear to be the provider's mistakes or inabilities. I was saying to Brother Bob that I remember asking Bob, I think it was 2016 or 15, I said, oh, I'm starting a new website. Do you think I could put your literature PDF format on the website just in case your website is down or, you know, and the other one is down? And of course he said yes. And, I never knew it would come about what are we now? It's about 8 years later, but it came and it's gone, and Lord willing, it'll stay gone. And Brother Bob has, also shored up things, so that it can't happen so easily next time. And thank God for that. That's fantastic.
Yes. Good morning, Elder James. And good evening, Shabbat blessings to you all on the other side of the world. Glad I can still mention our efforts in Upper Hill and also in Kisi, where dear brethren are doing some great work when we are joining hands. Mark Finley, a renowned Seventh-day Adventist preacher, international, has been in Nairobi, because I left him there. And his main purpose of coming to Nairobi for over 10 days was calculated to counter our efforts with the Upper Hill. And he came with a theme, Hope for Africa, to prompt the people who have separated from the conferences in Kenya, and they are looking for ministers from the remnant or the separated brethren around the region. And you have been giving a lot of information, a lot of messages to these dear brethren who had separated. The principal reason why they had separated was that the managers of the conferences in Kenya have turned the church into real business estate dealers, using tithe and offering into their own businesses. And this, dear brethren, so it worst. It had gone beyond, and then they decided to separate. And now they are looking for ministers who can, minister to them. And they are open the way for us. And for now, over 2 years, we have been going to them and sharing with them the real message of present truth, and these people have been strengthened, and they were now looking for ministers from different separate churches to come and lead them in their meetings where possible. I and Nathan, Isaac Osoro, and many others have done some good work among them. And I believe we had moved a step forward. And now the General Conference is now, I can say, moved or shaken to send in their powerful, renowned preacher by the name is Mark Finley. He's from America, but I don't know which state exactly, but he is in Nairobi, or has left Nairobi, but has been conducting. They calculated it well that they make that meeting rhyme with our camp meeting, which ended a few days last. Actually, it ended last week, and Mark Finley is ending this week. So, I believe the Lord has opened us a way for them, and it's my kind prayer. You pray for the brethren in these conferences who are separating, that they stand hold and strong with the messages we have given unto them. It's my proposal that we have some more extra prints to them, because in most cases we are there for a few days and then we leave. Then they keep asking, can you send me this? Can you send me this? Then I post to the few contacts that I have. Those which I don't have, I think they themselves give them. But see, my request and the proposal that if the Lord opens up some means, we have some more extra prints to them in the booklets and probably twice, because many of these are in cities and English is their major language of their service. So thank you for your efforts. Thank you for your prayers. It's only my humble appeal that you stand by us and by them, by having a suggestion to give a donation for prints to them to be given. Or if we can have a special, can say if Bob has some extra prints booklets, then we can send. But since he had adapted that, they no longer post to cut off the courses, then we can have them printed locally here for them, and then they can be distributed. More so those outside Nairobi, in deeper villages, because I've seen many of them in those deeper lands of exterior of Nairobi, inside the Maasai's, different areas, but my interest is to have the message to all of them. So thank you so much. I think God is doing great work than we can, we ourselves do. May God continue blessing these people that they get to realize the truth and stand with it. God bless you and thank you so much for your prayers. Sabbath blessings and happy Sabbath. Dear ones who are in the Sabbath hours like we who are starting our morning, God bless you so much.
Wow, thank you for that interesting insight going on over there, Mr. Mark Finley. Very popular, well-known veteran in Seventh-day Adventist circles. Used to do the It Is Written Ministries, I believe. Wow, we will definitely keep that in prayer. I'm sure that stirred some people up. Great opportunity to take advantage of reaching out to SDAs and non-SDAs when they're all congregated. You know, you're reminding me, Brother Joel, of a lady here. She was talking the praises of John Horvath. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's a pastor. He's worshipping not far from where I am right now in Forestville. And she said, oh, he's been baptizing hundreds and that. And this is the lady, this is the sister, who read the booklet, The Image of the Beast. And she said to Lucy, whether she read it or not, we cannot tell, but she said to Lucy, I 100% agree. Just to see the difference that truth can have on a person. But she said, if I were to leave the SDA church, I would die. Her words. I would not be a Christian. I just, what am I going to do? I'm going to worship a screen and I'm looking at her. No. Do you think we worship a screen? She wasn't used to the idea of being at a home church, etc. But she was praising this man and spending a lot of time in ministry, and he must be on the right track. He wouldn't have such success. And it's like it goes over the head. Well, did you know even Catholics have success like that? Even Pentecostals, Baptists, Methodists, Congregationalists, JWs, Mormons. Does that mean they got the truth? Does that mean they got every lie? Have they got more present truth or less? Oh, and in relation to John, my new accountant happens to be, he said to me the day before, he says, James, I go to Forestfield and go to John Horvath. He just comes out in the blue. I didn't ask him. I said, oh, really, do you? And then I gave him this USDA Church Part of Babylon. I said, would you please read it? He talks a lot. It's hard to get a word in. And he read it. And he rang me back. And he said, oh, totally agree. Totally agree. And he said, have you got more? And I said, well, yeah, I do. If you want it quicker than I can get it to you, you can print them out. He said, oh, okay, but I'm not trusting if he will do that. As I came back to see Lucy yesterday, I drove past his house, and he was there exactly when I was going to put it in his letterbox. I thought, well, that's even better. Give it straight to his hand, not to his letterbox. And he took it. He says he's going to pass it out. I'm not sure about his understanding about he said a few negative things about the spirit of prophecy. So but isn't it amazing the response to get? He actually spoke positively, and I'd like to give this to others. So I'm just hoping, you know, whether it's in pretense or in truth, that the truth gets out there, and hopefully Michael is doing that. He's an instrument in the hands of God that, people that I can't reach out to unless I go to their worship service, can reach out to, which would be fantastic. I'll let you know what happens with that. I'm reminded that, you know, we go to a flea market every Sunday when possible. People gave me literature. They said, oh, my dad wanted to give you this so you could give it away for free because he saw you give away free books. And he got his little daughter to do that. And I took it from him. Oh, I didn't know what it was. And she was insisting, and she just left it there. And we looked at it. It was a Quran. It was very beautiful writing. All of it was in Arabic. So couldn't understand it, but obviously it would have been, you know, at least some of it Quranic, directed. And I thought, what do we do with this? And I started putting tracts in the books and the tapes and the Quran, different tracts that these laws restore health and, is your religion, amazing facts about world religions. That's a new tract created. And put that in there. And then I said, now, what are we going to do with this? And then someone came along and said, I think I know someone. And we gave it to someone. And sure enough, he took it. And he had the literature within it, looked at it, and he was happy to take it. Hope it does a world of good for some Muslim or more than one. Just to give you an update regarding my work situation, having a part-time job at least, I get a text message. I didn't hear from David. David, a brother who gives a donation at Belmont Swap Meet, he gave me another donation, $50, and he said, I'll find your work, James. I said, oh, thank you so much, David. And he said, because I'll get you in my business. And, you know, he's not the owner. And I didn't hear back from him after Sunday. And you know how it is. If you're not getting a certain amount of income, you're a bit concerned for the future because you have to wait at least a week before you get paid. And so I'm thinking, what are we going to do with this? I'm doing a couple of things I have to do and travel. And then I get a text at night. Just at night. It was just turning on evening, Wednesday. And it's a text from the Northern Depot, which is about 50 k's where I live. And they say, oh, just letting you know, we've got you on the system and, we'd like to meet you and you get come to the depot. And I rang him straight away and he said, yeah, would you like to meet tomorrow? I said, yeah, absolutely. And as we're talking and he's giving me an induction, he said, yeah, so you haven't worked yet? I said, no, I've been on the books for 3 weeks. And, I don't know what they think my income is or that, but you would think that the guy just said you'll get a lot of work in summer, but you know, it's not summer. And he said, really? 3 weeks? Okay. He told me what I needed to do and that how he's going to, ring me up and how he's going to make sure you get some work at least, which was really good to hear, by the way. And I said, I tried to explain to the other depot, I'm in between you and the other depot, but he said you can only be at one. And he said, ah, yeah, well, that's okay. We'll deal with that, James, and bear that in mind. So he's really been helpful, Jason. He's really been, not that the others haven't, but I guess when you don't get offered work, especially when you've got to make an outlay of $1,000, you know, you do start wondering. Got to make it work. Got to pay for itself. So I'm really thrilled that that happened. And Lord willing, I'll be able to tell you how my first day at work went. Probably sometime Monday or Tuesday. Hopefully that works out and we make something of it. And the answer to your question, Sister Michelle, yes, Lucy is right by my side. And she's just resting. She's been very tired, unfortunately, which is not usual of her. But that's what's up with her. And thank you for keeping things in prayer. I don't know where my new job is leading me, but God knows. And, you know, we don't even know what one day is going to bring. And God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, they know all eternity. Very, very long.
We'll have to keep Brother Bob in prayer because he'll be coming down next week and we'll be doing more packing and things to get Sister Joan up in the country. So we're all looking forward to that.
It's also a kind of question that to keep our kids in prayers. They're starting school by Monday, and my kids hope to travel by Sunday if all goes well. I'm going to miss them for a couple of months, maybe two. I pray that you keep them in prayers for their absence away from home.
Well, a song comes to mind. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure.
Not the labors of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone.
Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die.
While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I soar to worlds unknown, see thee on thy judgment throne, Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee.
Amen. Thank you for singing, all of you. Very moving song because it's a hymn, all about him. Well, are there any last thoughts, any last things anyone wants to share with us? Please feel free to share. Well, it's been a privilege to be with you all again. So glad we could do it again. And Lord willing, many more to come. May the Sabbath for you all on the other side of the world go just as the Lord's planned it. And for us who are already into its hours or its daylight hours with lots of singing of the birds, that it may prosper in the hands keeping as we look up and live. Like the children of Israel looked to the brazen serpent to live, to be kept from the stinging of Satan's working, spiritually speaking. Well, before we close, let's have a word of prayer. Would a brother or sister like to offer that for us? Please feel free, and thank you for doing so.
Shine upon all of us and on you.
Thank you, Brother Joel. I know I didn't hear a word of it until the end. But I'm grateful for you. You have the same too, did you? Well, you know, they do say Australia is a second America. Even quoted in the spirit of prophecy. I don't know why. Of course, there's a bit of lag. But thank you, Brother Joel, for praying. Appreciate it. Why don't we have another word of prayer? Maybe someone else would like to have a word of prayer. Maybe we can hear you. Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege of being able to associate with your children, especially when none of us really live next to one another, and yet we have live feed, you know, even see one another. It's just marvelous what we have available today, and I pray that we won't be scared of the opportunities and privileges that come with the light that's shone upon our pathway to direct our life and the life of your church, the body of Christ on this earth, to be your hands, Jesus, and feet and eyes and ears and heart and all the different functions that are necessary if we would be ready for heaven, for the edifying of the whole body until we all come into the faith of the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us. Help us deepen our relationship and have love that goes with the truth, so that the truth is shared in love for the purpose of seeing others, because no one likes to be lied to, and yet all of us have been lied to, more or less, and no doubt we've done it ourselves. But now, being Christians, being washed from our sins that are past, that they might realize the joy that we are having, and may this joy increase so that we're more inclined to share it and not keep it to ourselves as if it were a secret. Thank you for blessing Sister Joan to be able to join us as well, to hear her read and look forward to her continuing to be able to read and sing along with other brothers and sisters, especially helping her come through another week. Time and life is so precious, and may we make life as comfortable and as pleasant as possible for one another, not making our journey here harder, our pilgrimage, because that's what it is, and that's very comforting to think that God looks at it that way as well with us, that we're just pilgrims and strangers. Not that we don't love people, but that this world is not our home, and that we are looking for a city whose foundations and builder is God's. As we've been reading, and may we come together again to read a lot more about it as we finish the Revelation study. Help our brothers and sisters not miss one ray of light, blessings, myself included, that you have intended for this Sabbath day and Sabbath night. And please give the grace and the wisdom required for the different objectives that you have and require of us to fulfill. And thank you for the joy in doing it. And may Sister Michelle, and especially Sister Joan, have a very meaningful last month or so while she's in a home she's been in for quite some time and moving a lot of stuff with the help of her family members and anyone else for that matter that might be needed. Above all, graced to do it with joy. And know that it's for and to a good purpose, that it will be memorable for all the right reasons. And thank you, Jesus, for causing us to make history as we speak, not without you, but with you. For we know that what you bless is blessed forever. In Jesus we thank and pray. Amen.
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 Amen. And also for Sister Adele as well. Keep her in prayer too. Thank you.
All righty. Well, we shall meet again. Keep looking up until God be with you. Excuse me. Until we meet again, God be with you. And thank you for your company. Lord willing, we'll see one another soon. And hopefully most of you will see one another very, very soon. God bless. Take care.
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. See, my voice isn't too hot tonight. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.